right. Announcements we've got. Ladies Fellowship is Tuesday at 6 o'clock. This Tuesday, 6 o'clock. And we've also got Public Ministry Thursday, Friday in Kennedy. And I think those are the main announcements. We have the financial basic, you know, P&L from December above the water fountain if you're interested in just seeing where money comes in, money goes out, where it goes, all that kind of thing. And then December 24th. Well, so it's almost Christmas. No, it's January 24th. We'll have baptisms. We have several to do, apparently. So have baptisms January 24th in the morning, and then in the evening we'll do kind of go over 2020 as a year and the financial side of it and where we're going this year and some of the new stuff we're doing this year. We like mailing out the gospel and covering a larger area and things like that. So we'll talk about that in a couple weeks, but Genesis chapter 13 is where we are this morning, this evening, December 24th, whatever. Wow. Yeah, did not get a nap. Genesis chapter 13, we'll just do the first four verses, and we're going to kind of do a little topical, just find out, look at all the places where the phrase and the idea of calling on the name of the Lord shows up in the Bible, because in this chapter, it shows up again. This is the third time it's shown up in the Bible. Showed up under Seth or Enos in Genesis chapter 5, I believe, or Genesis 4, somewhere in there. And then it shows up with Abraham, or Abram, Genesis 12, and then here it is in Genesis 13. So Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord." So that phrase, called on the name of the Lord, is important. It's a phrase you probably use in talking to somebody about the Lord, about whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that kind of thing. Because Paul quotes it, and it shows up multiple times in the Bible, and so it's one of those themes that runs through the Bible, that one of the requirements God has, or I guess you could say requirements. I mean, it really is. It is a requirement God has that men would call upon His name, and that's how they're going to receive help from God. So Abram calls on the name of the Lord. Let's pray. We're going to talk about this phrase and just see how it's used throughout the Bible, and see how it's used from Old Testament, New Testament. But like I said, it is a theme in the Bible that God expects of man if man wants any help from him. So let's pray and we'll talk about it. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Thank you for each soul that's here, and for those that may be watching, I pray you would bless them. For those that may be sick, I pray you'd heal up their bodies. Those traveling, that you'd get them home safe. And Father, that you would you'd feed us this evening and teach us your words, and teach us your words, and we can apply your words and multiply the word of God and the work of God and all that stuff we talked about in Sunday school. Father, I pray that you'd guide our study this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Abram calls on the name of the Lord. This is the third time this phrase has shown up in the Bible. It showed up in Genesis 5, showed up in Genesis 12, and now it showed up again, and it will continue to show up in the Bible. And it's a practice, like I said, and a requirement that will run all the way through God's record of history. And so we'll see how the phrase is used, and if I get you up to speed here on where we're at. In Genesis chapter 12, Abram receives the promise, he receives a covenant, and he shortly after that leaves the promised land to go into Egypt because there's a famine and he gets in trouble in Egypt. And we talked a little bit about, you know, that is a reoccurring problem with God's people. They keep ending up in Egypt and all that. And so Abram gets off track, and he gets back on track. He comes back to the promised land where he had built the altar the first time, or one of the altars the first time. And you'll see later on in Genesis, apparently when Abram went to Egypt, he ends up with more than he started with. Namely, he ends up with a maidservant or a maid named Hagar, and that was someone who came out of Egypt with him. But we'll see that in a couple chapters. So here we are. Abram returns to the place where he'd made the altar. And the Bible says God's record is that he returns to this place. He remembers the Lord and the relationship he had with the Lord. And that's just a good practical devotional thing. It's a good thing to think about. He returns to where he first kind of got off track or had the thoughts to go somewhere else. And he gets back to where he was. And that'll happen. I mean, in people's lives, it happened in our lives. You know, you get off track and say, what do I need to do? Well, just go back to where you got off track. Just get back there. And so Abram does that. And the Bible says he there is where he called on the name of the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. And he is unique. He is, to say the least, he is unique. He's a unique man. But he is a man that he's wealthy, the Bible says. He has gold, he has silver, he's rich in cattle and silver and gold. And with all of that stuff he has, he still calls on the name of the Lord, which is something you don't find with people in general. When people are wealthy, they generally don't need the Lord for anything. And at least, you know, they may talk about Christianity or something like that. But generally, they don't really see the need for the Lord in really any aspect of their life until they're, you know, on their deathbed or something like that in a hospital. And then all of a sudden, you know, we need to be praying for this, you know, pray for me and help me and things like that. It's unfortunate. It's sad. And so Abram is a different man. He is a man who is wealthy and a man who recognizes in his wealth that he needs the Lord. So he calls on the name of the Lord. And that phrase, like I said, is going to be used all through the Bible. So I'm just going to take you through here. This is, like I said, the third time this has shown up. And the Lord keeps mentioning it because it's something God's going to require of man, that either you're going to call on the name of the Lord and be saved, or you're just not going to call on the name of the Lord and you will rest in whatever thing you think you're resting in. So let's look at a couple places. Look first at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, and see how this is used. The name of the Lord. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Proverbs 18:10. In fact, look at verse 11 first, because it's a great contrast to what you're reading about Abram. Abram's a rich man. Proverbs 18:11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. So that's what he trusts in. Rich man's wealth is his strong city and has a high wall in his own conceit. But look at the verse before it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So calling on the name of the Lord is a characteristic of righteousness. It's something that, and God's going to, we've talked about it before, God's going to, he's going to protect his name. He wants to protect his name. He considers people who are blaspheme his name, they are enemies of his. And so he's going to, like he says, the name of the Lord's a strong tower because the Lord is willing to defend his own name. And so it's a good verse to remember. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's a characteristic of righteousness. And as opposed to the rich man's wealth, which is his, that's where he finds his safety. So you see this in Proverbs. Now let me show you what played out in people's lives here. It's just a good verse to remember about the name of the Lord. But let's see David, what David says about it. Look in Psalms chapter 116. Psalms 116. And verse 1. This is a deathbed statement here. Psalms 116, verse 1. The Bible says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. So here's a man on his deathbed. And if it's David, I mean, he had called on the name of the Lord multiple times in his life. But here's a man definitely who is dying and feeling the pains of death. And he says, I can just feel the grips of death pulling me down. And he says, and I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And he gets the deliverance. You read that later on. Look in verse 13, same chapter. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. There you go. Salvation, calling upon the name of the Lord. See those two things put together. One more time in this chapter. Verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So all of these things describe what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Somebody who is, he said he's going to take the cup of salvation. That's calling upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Over here, back here at the beginning of the chapter, he is desperate and dying, and he calls upon the name of the Lord, seeks help in a time of trouble, and he gets it. And so there's some deathbed things going on there, and maybe if it's David, it's not only in a time of his dying, but David had called upon the name of the Lord, like I said, multiple times in his life for help. Here's another time it's used. Here's another time. Look over in, let's see, Joel chapter 2. And I'll give you about 30 minutes to find Joel. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Joel chapter 2 and we'll just read verse 32. Well, look in verse 28 for some context to it. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Skip down to verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. All right, so this verse, or these verses, are quoted by Peter in Acts. So Acts chapter 2, looking over in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 21. So Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Here's Peter preaching. And people seem to pick out Acts 2:38 as the, you know, baptism and got to be baptized and things like that. So Acts 2:21, he says this: "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's Peter preaching to all the people in Jerusalem here, and he's quoting Joel. And so he's not saying, you know, you got to be baptized. He's saying, this is what you need to do. You need to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. And so people run to 2:38 and say, well, you know, you got to baptize. That's not what he's saying. He said clearly, you got to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. All right. So Peter preaches it. He's preaching from Joel. That's Old Testament. Peter's not making up something new. He's just explaining what's going on. And then here it is one more time. Go back to the Old Testament, and then I'll show it to you in the New Testament. Zephaniah chapter 3, and I'll give you another 30 minutes to find Zephaniah. You got Habakkuk, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 18. Zephaniah 3, actually not verse 18, verse 8. Zephaniah 3:8 says, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. My suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering," and so on and so forth. You get the idea. But that's the phrase that shows up again. He says in Zephaniah, "For then will I turn to the people the pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord." All right? Now, Paul says this. He takes this verse in Romans chapter 10, which is something you're familiar with probably, and I'll read it to you. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, Romans 10, 11. He says this: "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, the reason he says that is because whosoever believeth on him, the point is, it's not just Israelites or Jews that can be saved. The point is, whoever believes on Jesus Christ can be saved. So he says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All right, that's, you could either take that from Zephaniah or you could take that from Joel, but that's the point. Whosoever. But it's incumbent on an individual to call upon the name of the Lord. It's not just automatic because Jesus Christ died and rose again, but it's incumbent on somebody to call upon him. So you get the idea. I mean, this is something that shows up all the way through the Bible. The Lord requires of man, if you're going to get help, if you're going to get salvation from God, there's going to be have to be an individual who's going to have to call on the name of the Lord. I'll read this one to you. It's in Acts chapter 22. where he says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized." And then he says, "Wash away thy sins." How? Calling on the name of the Lord. That is Acts 22. It's Paul preaching, and again, he reiterates the same thing. So all I wanted to show you this evening, short lesson, I just wanted to show you how that phrase shows up all through the Bible, and it's not unique to Paul. When Paul says it in Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," that's not a new church age thing. That's something that's been happening for centuries. That's something that's been happening for millennia. If somebody calls upon the name of the Lord, that's what's required of them. You see it in Genesis, you see it in Psalms, you see it in Proverbs, you see it in Joel, you see it in Zephaniah, you see it through the Bible here. Those are a few times it shows up. So by the time you get to Genesis 13, it's the third time the phrase has shown up. And so it's like I said, it is number one, a requirement by God to man. Number two, it is individual, whosoever. It's not a group thing or anything like that, but whosoever individually will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That person will be saved, and you understand that. And then number three, it's beyond the boundaries, national boundaries, racial boundaries. It's whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Paul preaches it, Peter preaches it, Joel talked about it, Zephaniah talked about it, David or whoever wrote that psalm mentioned it in Psalm 116. Solomon talked about it in Proverbs. Abram, it's recorded in Abram's life, and so that is a theme that runs all the way through the Bible. And that's what I want you to see this evening. So I hope that's helpful to you. See those things, just a few verses, but thematic through the Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And Abram does that early on, and he'll do it multiple times, just like most folks who have a relationship with the Lord will do. So let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. Father, I pray it's been helpful this evening. I pray that you would take these words and help us understand our Bibles better. Thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. And thank you for this time together, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.